How do you persevere when temptation comes? You guys are listening to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. This is the podcast where we learn to trade our deepest struggles to God for peace. My name is Matt Tilley, and I'm here with Craig Faust. Hey, Craig.
Hello, everyone. Let's go ahead and jump in to this episode. So for those of you that are following along in the workbook, we are on step 8, persevere. And, you know, Matt and I, we put this part in the workbook because, so like I come from addiction treatments, and Matt and I in counseling, we see this often. And as believers, in our own experience, we see this as often. And that's something called relapse. Mm-hmm. So in our best of intentions and our own strength, we want to make correct decisions. We want to do the right thing. But ultimately, what happens is in moments of weakness, we turn back to old behavior. And
yeah. In the Christian world, we call that still being sinners
absolutely, yeah.
who are saved by grace. That we are consistently still struggling in this broken world, that we are creatures who are living in the already but not yet reality, that we are still glorious ruins, which means that we have the potential to glorify God, serve Him, and live holy lives. We also have the potential to backslide and fall back into our sin life, our sin behavior, thoughts, and feelings, right?
Beautiful way of putting it. And so what we want to do here is that now that we have better handle on the struggle and what to do and these different mechanisms, these muscles that you've hopefully built over time to be able to help turn towards God, lean into that relationship with God, we want to make a plan for whenever temptation comes again, because it will come. And if we have some type of plan, we're just increasing the chances that we will turn to God, increasing the chances that we'll spend less time in our sin, or that we'll be able to pivot before maybe we follow through with the worst type of behavior of our sin. Because at the end of the day, as soon as we start to turn towards sin, terrible thing. However, human behavior-wise, it's a lot easier the earlier that we catch it. So if we can have a plan, then we're going to be more successful or more likely to turn to that plan, repent, turn back towards God. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to start to talk about, to give an idea of what that looks like so that you can be successful whenever temptation does come.
Some of that plan might be, it's important to at least have steps in place, action mm-hmm. steps in place. Some of that plan can at least begin to look like having some awareness of what are the triggers that you know of what is going to open your heart or your mind more to leaning back on that struggle that you are trying to push against. So I know for myself, for example, that some of those triggers for me are whenever there's a very cool new show or new game.
Right.
Or whenever there's a level of circumstantial stress in my life that I really don't want to have to figure out how to problem solve, or I feel like I actually can't control any of it, so there is no easy problem solving, and so I want to look for something easy for me to be able to do. What's usually easy for me to be able to do is to lose myself in something that dominates my thoughts or my mind. And so that's where I turn to slothfulness, laziness, mm-hmm. that creates that cyclical pattern for me that is my struggle, essentially, where I distance myself in relationships and with God also.
Right. And hopefully by now, going through this workbook, you have an idea of some of those triggers, some of the components that feeds into the mm-hmm. struggle. And so, you know, you will be able to hopefully start to answer some of these questions and come up with an idea so that we can make a plan to help us persevere amidst our struggle and whenever temptation comes. So number one here, in the persevere step, we have write out some things that you can do whenever you're tempted and return to your old behavior. You're tempted to return to your old behavior, or way of thinking, and make a list that you can of things that you can do, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the strengths that you've identified, the meditate section would be a good idea as well. And this list, you know, we would like it to be a couple things that you could do, right? Mm-hmm. So there may be things that are a good idea, things you're likely to do, or anything like that. You know, so like whenever I start to find myself falling into old behavior, you know, there are some things that I want to be able to do. I want to be able to pray. I want to be able to talk to somebody about it. I want to be able to start to read scripture about it. And like for me specifically, I usually need to take some time to remind myself mm-hmm. about what God says about me and who I am and, right. and you know, and kind of really be able to sit into that truth of being an image of God. And so whenever, so if I look at those four things, and when we look, you know, move on to number two, after you have that list, it's going to be narrowing it down. This is something that you're going to recognize mm-hmm. from some of our other ones. We want to be able to narrow this down so we can make a specific plan about one of these. So I know the one that usually that stands out for me is I always want to turn to prayer, because I want to be able to help foster that intimacy, that whenever things go bad, the first thing I'm doing is praying and trying to close that gap that has developed between God and myself in that moment whenever I stepped into sin. Or whenever temptation's knocking and I know that the storm's coming, I need to like find that rock, that safe mm-hmm. harbor to go into.
I think those are beautiful ones. A lot of those focus on the relationship with God, right? Which is good, right, and important. I think that you can get creative with this list for yourself mm-hmm. of additional things to do. I think the relationship with God, something that's going to turn mm-hmm. you back to Him, is probably the most important. But then also consider other things that might start to change your perspective in other ways too. Maybe other actionable steps that will kind of put you on the right path, so to speak. For me, whenever I am tempted to lose myself in fantasy worlds or entertainment or distraction, to scroll on reels, to distance myself in relationships, one of the things I know that is helpful for me to do whenever I start to feel that temptation come in for me, all of my priorities get screwed up. It's hard for me to actually prioritize what is more important than another. And sometimes what I might wind up doing inadvertently or unconsciously is prioritizing something that is really minute and small. Something that can be helpful for me to do is whenever I know that I'm tempted to fall into things, to utilize my addictive personality and to spend a week diving headfirst into a game, right, where mm-hmm. it soaks up all my time, or a good book. I try to create a goal for myself that every single day I will start to make a list of things that I want to accomplish for that day, and try to prioritize them in order of most important to least important.
Right.
So that when I'm going throughout my day, I can think of something that I can actually accomplish that day that is actionable, that's actually possible. Because what's sometimes going on for me is I'm feeling kind of out of control, that mm-hmm. I'm unable to actually do anything the right way or do anything, period. That I'm unable to be productive or efficient or competent. Right. And so sometimes for me to actually think through what am I actually able to control or do, that's not like 10 steps ahead, kind of where my mind is fearing that I won't be able to do this thing that's actually too big. But maybe if I can prioritize at least one thing I can do or a couple things I can do each day that are feasible, that are realistic.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I start to think about that actually helps me press against this temptation to fall headfirst into just my old struggle is, what are some small next step things I can do, and how do I prioritize them in a certain way that's helpful?
Well, what a beautiful thing, right? So again, we're planning on that temptation to come up. So if you're like, all right, there's something I know I'm going to be tempted to go to the phone or anything like that. Mm-hmm. If I know that I have that, then I can try to make a plan at the beginning of the day. What are some of these small things to do so that I have that at the top of mind, so that if I do turn to this, I could be like, whoa, hold time out. I need to go and make sure I'm getting some of these other things done. And this will be different for each and every one of you, right? So like some of us do really good with like making ourselves feel terrible for things that we do. And sometimes that motivates people to do things differently. And sometimes it doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this persevere, allow yourself to be guided by what makes sense. Allow yourself to be guided by what helps keep that relationship between you and God intact and helping you turn towards God. So we're looking at number two and number three, right? Number two is to pick the one, and number three is to pick another one, right, out of this mm-hmm. list. So again, we're just narrowing this down to work on developing a more cohesive plan.
Right.
Then exactly after you right. have those, we kind of move into this next section where now that we have this kind of like primary thing you want to do and the secondary thing you want to do, we want to try to flesh this out a little bit. And so that's when we get to this next page in the persevere continued. Number one here is, what is something you could do immediately after you relapse into old behavior or old thinking to reestablish that relationship with God? So right. notice here, we're trying to make it this about the relationship with God. A really huge temptation for us will be to say that this has nothing to do with God. And the challenge with that is if that is the truth, then we're missing the sin nature mm-hmm. of the struggle that we're going through. And I tell you what, I'm as good as the next person at justifying things that I do. Right. No, so like my struggle being able to really truly hand over my finances and truly being able to trust God, you know, that's a little bit on the nose for me because my difficulty in trusting God is there within the struggle that I have. But let's say that I'm going to pick a different struggle like lust. But I'm like, hey, I'm not doing anybody any wrong by just looking at another woman and just imagining mm-hmm. the comforts of that relationship. Well, I am doing something because it's sinful, because God says that it is, mm-hmm. the Sermon on the Mount, right? As soon as I start to think about another woman in that way, I've already committed adultery, mm-hmm. right? There's something about the image of God. And so whenever I recognize the sinful part of the struggle, the first thing that I want to do is immediately after that relapse, reestablish the relationship with God. Do right. something for that relationship because we don't want to pull away. Right? That's the first move that we want to make. So use this list of the primary and secondary and make that action, make that thing you do to correlate with doing something about this relationship with God.
Yeah, I think that's so vital what you just said, that make it the first thing we think about doing, of reestablishing connection with God. Even if we feel like, I still know He loves me, I still know I'm saved, that's mm-hmm. a good thing. And still make that effort to move toward God, because I think in almost every time that we slip into any of our struggle, part of what's in our struggle is not just a form of suffering, a wound that we carry, but also a sin, an actionable thing, whether it's just in our mind, emotions, or our behavior, of something that does disconnect us from Him, like you just said.
I just want to jump in real quick. So yeah. Those of you that are good students will notice that Matt actually jumped into this question too.
Thinking ahead.
Well, yeah. And the thing is that these two are so closely tied together. We want it to actually be like that, right? That we want to turn to God, and we want to turn to God because we know that God loves us, even amidst the relapse, even amidst the sin. Because the thing is, if we start to question whether or not God loves us, then it'll be too easy for us to camp out in shame and guilt.
Yes.
Right, and we got to do business with that shame and guilt. Right? We got to do business with that shame and guilt with God. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, if we're pulling away from God and we start to question God's love, we're not living in the reality that God has set forth in Scripture. God loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His only Son to die for us and to be rose again so that our sins could be forgiven, so that He could pay that price that we couldn't pay. And it's God's grace that He did that. So like for us, we want to be able to live in that reality of God's love and remind ourselves in these times, in these moments when we do relapse, whenever temptation wins, that I need to do something about this relationship and I need to remember in these moments. And this question too is asking, how are you going to help yourself remember that God loves you? and that even in this relapse, that does not diminish God's love. It's important. We want this number one and two to be closely connected.
Yeah.
Just like it was with Matt right there, right? Like, how do you remind
yourself of that? Yeah, it was my first instinct to think of that, right? Mm-hmm. This is a pretty vital part of any growing, healing, changing process in anybody's life, even if you're not a believer, to know that relapse happens when you're struggling with something that has a hold on your heart.
Absolutely.
It's part of the process for the believer as well, because what happens when we relapse, when we're tempted again or we fail at something, is it reminds us that I am not powerful enough to do this all on my own. And what other hard thing that we struggle with, I think so many of us struggle with, is that when we fail at something, whenever we've been trying and pushing ourselves to grow and change, is that there's sometimes this thought of, I've lost all of this progress that I just made. I've lost all of this knowledge or this healing or this growth that I've just made. And running first to Jesus to remind ourselves of the relationship we have with him is imperative, I think, also so that we can push against that lie.
Yeah.
You have not lost everything. Absolutely. You do not go back to square one whenever you inevitably do have a rupture or a failure in this regard.
Yeah. And you may need scripture to remind you. Yeah. So like as Matt's even just talking naturally, right, we go to number three. These are all very nuanced, right? But we want this to be the automatic thing that we do. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, do number three, list some of the scriptures that you need to be reminded about, whether or not that scripture is related to the struggle, whether or not that scripture is related to how God loves you, whether or not that scripture is whatever you may need to be able to help yourself in this moment to stay connected with God, whatever that is.
To remember truth, to remember who you are, to remember who he is, to remember, why do I keep pressing against my sin? But even more than that, why do I and why should I turn toward him? And there's a big difference than I'm going to resist my sin. Is that my focus? Or I'm going to turn toward him. Mm-hmm. Both are good. One is far more of a priority, to turn toward the cross.
Well, and when we're doing that, we're turning towards God. Mm-hmm. We are repenting of our sin.
Yep.
And for some of us, we need to have that scriptural backing to help kind of like propel us in that direction away, to help like get us out of the sink trap that is the guilt and shame that starts to diminish the God's grace.
Yeah, that's right.
And so like when you go this, like look for that scripture, look to seek first that connection with God so that true repentance can take place in that moment.
Amen.
And then talk about like, all right, what steps of this process would likely be the most helpful for you in this moment? Like, what do you need to review, right? When you get to that action plan, do you need to turn to people? Do you need to turn to prayer? Do you need to turn to scripture, a theme study, right? Or do you need to go back to like trying to like recognize, do you need to go like what section, what step do you need to go back through just to be able to help remind you of some of this progress that you've made, to revisit some of the ways that you have been successful at this, to help propel you towards God in that moment, right? Yeah. Not to remind you of the success you've had, but to remind you that I've taken this path before. Can I help get myself on that path so I could keep on cruising along with God?
Right. Exactly. Part of what you said there that reminds me of, you know, what I think gets us stuck in that sinkhole is maybe whenever and I think this is a temptation when you realize that I have to persevere. I'm seeing the struggle start to creep back into my life. I think part of what makes that sinkhole even more damaging to us is when our focus is just on our sin. Mm-hmm. And I just have to mortify that, kill that, die to myself, mortify my flesh, and stop sinning, right? Just do better. Mm-hmm. And if that is our focus, even in this section, if that is your focus, to just figure out how to stop doing the thing, that is the priority at all costs, you will continue to shame shame yourself through this process. Yeah. And when you shame yourself, the only thing that you can really run back to, if shame is still present to make you feel any comfort or joy, is your struggle, I think. Mm-hmm. But the thing that wipes away those cobwebs in the darkness is the glory and light of the gospel, which is why we're really, I think, hitting this nail on the head hard, that it is the cross, that it is Jesus, this relationship that should be your priority when you start to notice this temptation come in, and when you start to see some failure, mistakes, or giving back into some of the original struggle.
Absolutely. And the thing is that this can be for whatever struggle is, right? Let's say your struggle's lust, and you've had an affair. Make sure you're taking the time to focus on getting closer to God in those moments. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're doing what you can for that relationship so that you can take the strength and power of that relationship that you have with God into your marriage. Yeah. Whenever you go and address that breach that's happened.
Yeah.
Because let's say the marriage dissolves, right? It's the worst case scenario in there. The marriage dissolves. Then you even need that relationship with God even more.
Yeah.
There's a part of us that believes that we deserve to suffer. And the thing is, a lot of time, that belief that we deserve to suffer is a part of us that believes that our own works, that our own effort, our own suffering is somehow going to earn what God's done, which is not what Scripture tells mm-hmm. us. And the thing is, it pauses us from leaning into the relationship. And right. we have to fight that urge. It's not of this world. Or it is of this world, sorry. Yeah.
Isn't that also resisting forgiveness
Absolutely. For yourself?
Which is what we were just talking about this past episode, that it is important to forgive those who've wronged you. It's also important to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And why do we forgive? Because Christ first loved and forgave us as well. If God wants to forgive you, did forgive you, then he wants to continuously keep forgiving you. And that applies to this moment in your life as well, when you notice that I am failing all over again. Yes, you need forgiveness in order to be able to survive and make it through.
Right.
Maybe we all deserve a little bit of suffering. If we're honest with ourselves, if life was really fair, maybe God would smite us and we'd all go to hell right now, because we're all wretches. Like, we don't deserve this gift that he's given us. And maybe that's part of the truth, that you're tempted to mm-hmm. grow into a big lie that you deserve this punishment or to suffer. Like, sure, we don't deserve God's gift, but we have it anyway, which is why it's grace. Right. It's something that we don't deserve and we get anyway. He is freely offering you this.
We have to lean into that reality, because if not, temptation comes, we relapse, and it blocks us from true repentance.
That's right.
And we can't allow that to happen, not this far along with handing our struggle over to Jesus. And then we got number five here, and that persevere. What supportive person would be best to talk with about this relapse? A lot of times for me, this is my wife. It could be a friend, a Bible study group. Usually I actually kind of have it in that order of what it looks like for me. And again, I know this is a hang up for people to be able to admit to others that they've sinned. And it's a hang up that isolates us. Whenever we relapse, very important that we're seeking support from other people, right? We need to establish that relationship with God first. Then we need to talk and turn to other godly people about this, so they might have a word from God to speak to us directly to that struggle. We may be so up in our own heads that we can't experience, we're blocking God's love in that, and another person may have the opportunity to break through that in some way with a hug, right? With showing that love and care that is from our Father. Mm-hmm. And that may be easier for us to receive in that moment. So it's super important that we're just not going through this alone.
Yeah.
Right? We have other believers, right? We've already established this in going through our struggle and that action. You know, we have these other people that we want to be able to go to. Allow yourself to step into that support.
Yes. That's so vital. I think I've said before, many of us suck at talking just to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't dialogue in our own heads with ourselves very well. And after we've gone to the Lord, Because remember, the relationship with him is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
Far more important. Second most important is to have relationship with someone else as well. And to hear that conversation, make it a little bit further than what it looks like in our own heads. Because we can and should try to speak truth to ourselves. But sometimes that truth does get stuck if our cycle, our struggle, as it ramps up, gets really strong. Somebody else, exactly, Craig, might be able to pierce through that with a big old truth bomb, right?
Absolutely.
And maybe we will listen to that person. Maybe we trust that person more.
Then the last part of this persevere is to tie it all together into a cohesive plan. I've actually provided an example of my own struggle. This is the struggle with lust. So, you know, that way you do have an idea of what this may look like. And it's okay if it doesn't quite look like this. The whole purpose of this is just to get you thinking about it, get you thinking about that this could happen, and hopefully you never have to use it. Hopefully this never happens to you. No. But you're going to be tempted. Hopefully you never fall into it. And then this plan gathers dust. You forget that it even existed, right? Whatever that may be. But it's better for us to plan. It's wise for us to consider that temptation's going to come and to be able to allow ourselves to prioritize that relationship with God and how we're going to prioritize that, how we're going to hit our knees, how we're going to like cry out to the Lord in those moments, that's going to look like. Better for us to have an idea of how we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Because in the moment of distress, we don't want to risk continuing to allow that distance to build, continuing to allow us to wallow in the sin. That's what we've been doing with our struggle. We're trying to hand the struggle over to Jesus, not hand it over to ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Allow ourselves to step into that. Allow ourselves to plan for whenever those waters get turbulent.
You know, Martin Luther said something about this too, of planning for when temptation comes, because there's no way that any of us can ever avoid temptation in this world. Even if you are a hermit and you lock yourself away and you get rid of all worldly possessions, guess what? You're still going to be tempted. It comes for us all in different ways. It's going to find a way to come into your life, just like Jesus was tempted. And being tempted is not the sin. It's giving in to that temptation, listening to it.
Right.
Martin Luther said, you can't stop a flock of birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. And that's what we're asking you guys to do here. Not to stop the temptation, because that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
But to stop those birds from building a nest in your hair, that's far more feasible, right? And we're asking you to be wise and to plan for that, of when the birds get close and they try to gather in your hair, to swat them away, to have a plan for how you combat them. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have a plan for how we combat the temptation, chances are that when it does come, we're going to give in.
Absolutely. And just to consider, right? So this step eight, this is just a format that we're recommending. There are most certainly other formats out there. Do something that makes sense. One of my favorite formats is actually in Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
They will... you know, as people are going through the 12 steps, just being able to keep up with the group itself is a way of them persevering, right? They're continually acknowledging their struggle with addiction. They are continually having it in their mind because they're going to meetings over time and right, they're starting to build this lifestyle. So it's kind of always there in some way. It's always being managed. It's always being dealt with in some way. That way, whenever relapse happens, they already got the support structure in place. They can pivot right back to it. That's ideally what you want to do. And that's kind of what this is modeled after, is let's plan for relapse. That way we have something that we can do. But you may be looking at this and you're like, hey, you know, this is something that, you know, it's tough, or I don't want to write this down, or, Craig, man, I'm not going to keep this workbook after I get done, right? I'm going to toss it in the trash afterwards. Okay, then try to make some other type of plan, right? You know, during Bible study, do I trust people I can talk to about this? You know, okay, or do I just have kind of check in with my spouse about this every once in a while? What do I want that incremental checking in to look like, or whatever it is? Just have it in your mind. That way we don't forget the struggle. Because if we forget the struggle, a lot of times temptation will slowly work its way back in.
Yeah.
If I start to forget at some point that I have a heart that's hard to trust, that I believe and I serve a generous God,
yeah,
that pretty soon I will not be praying to God to ask what I should use my finances for. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon I'll be trying to covet some of my different things. I'll be turning back slowly to old behavior.
Yeah.
If I stop considering that lust is something that I could still contend with and that temptation will come with it, that I'll stop doing some of the examples that I have, right? And at the end
because
of here.
Because you become blind to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, and temptation could be so, so subtle.
It usually is.
And the thing is that if we don't have a plan, we're just setting ourselves up for failure.
Yeah.
And our first step of that plan needs to be, how am I going to reengage with that relationship with God? Yeah. How am I going to make sure that I don't slowly start to walk away from God and then make it harder for me to repent and turn back? Because by the time that I recognize what's going on, I'm so far off the deep end that I feel too terrible to do that. I feel too terrible to talk to somebody about what's happened.
Usually when we think we've made it or we've arrived is whenever we fall the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's very important to be on guard, to be mindful and aware that you are a sinner still, or rather a glorious ruin. That your sin nature is still a part of you, but it does not identify you, does not define you.
Yeah.
But it's still there until Jesus comes back in all of his glory. It's still there. You're still affected by it. And you got to have at least one eye kind of on it or in your periphery vision so that you don't fall.
Mm-hmm. We are nearing the end of this workbook. And this journey here. Yeah. And so we look forward to continue to talk about this. I am so excited that you've made it this far. Step 8. Whew. It's a big deal, right? Congratulate yourself. Yeah. This is big.
You guys have been persevering through this experience.
Absolutely. I love the idea of planning because for temptation, because that means that it's not as, doesn't have as big a hold on us right now. Right, we've already been handing it over to Jesus. We want to make sure it stays in Jesus' hand as much as we can. And, you know, I look forward to being able to wrap this workbook up so that we can continue on that journey of handing struggles over to Jesus, right? And we can go back and, you know, look at the progress that we've made and the differences that it, you know, Jesus has made in our life in a very tangible way in this struggle. So thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you. We love you. And until next time, take care.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again. And we love you. We will see you next time.